This is an eavesdropping conversation. I'm Juliet Fraser, and today my guest is Ellie Wilson. Welcome, Ellie.
Hi, Juliet.
Really nice to see you. I'm wondering if you could introduce yourself, actually, to start. How do you describe yourself as a musician?
Well, that's a tricky one. I kind of think of myself a little bit of a jack of all trades. I guess, I mean, primarily I'm a violinist and a composer, and I explore various fringes of genres, I guess. I'm definitely drawn to folk music and music that's very narrative, but I love contemporary classical music, I love experimental music, and I've also got a passion for rock music as well. So I kind of feel like I've drawn all of these things in together, and that's my sound. So God knows what that sounds like, but you have to hear it to find out.
That sounds amazing. Can you tell us a bit about your musical background? How did music enter your life? Was there music going on in the home, or were you taken to gigs, or how did that unfold for you?
So I don't come from a musical family at all. My parents are not musical. I grew up in East London. And it's the story that you hear from many people, which is, you know, it was a couple of teachers that really nurtured my passion for music.
Mm.
I started playing the violin when I was 7. And I just went to a, you know, standard primary school. I knew I wanted to play a musical instrument. They came into the classroom one day and offered an instrument. It was a violin. And I put my hand up and I got it. I think to this day, if I'd have been offered a flute or a trumpet or whatever, I would have put my hand up. God knows where I could be now. But I got the violin and I stuck with it. And one of my teachers gave me a cassette of Andre Previn's Guide to the Orchestra. He could tell I was really interested in classical music. And my granddad was actually really into classical music, so he gave me quite a lot of his vinyl and took me to my first classical concert when I was 8. And I found the programme a few years ago, and it was Stephen Huff playing Grieg's Piano Concerto at the Barbican. And yeah, and I just started from there. My mum and dad were not into classical music at all. As a result of me being very into it, they have subsequently now got really into it themselves. So it's a bit of a sort of like role reversal, really.
Amazing. And were there key influences along the way that have kind of shaped who you are as an artist? So evolving from those early classical influences into your folk-infused work that you make now?
I guess I need to sort of like move forward a little bit. So I did a music degree, and I knew I wasn't good enough or wanted to be a professional classical violinist. And then I was going to loads of gigs in Camden, and then I went to All Tomorrow's Parties, which was a festival down in Camber Sands where they would put on various Sonic Youth would play and, you know, that kind of style of experimental sort of rock and avant-garde kind of music. And Godspeed You Black Emperor played. And that was the turning point for me. So I was quite fresh out of university, and it kind of merged my two worlds together. It was like rock music, loud, orchestral, dark. Everything that I love about music was there, and it blew me away. And Sophie, the violinist in Godspeed You Black Emperor, I mean, is an influence, because I went out, I bought myself an electric violin and some effects pedals, and then I touted my services on MySpace, which was what the place was then, and I formed a band. I formed a post-rock band called De Twiege, and we were a real mishmash, and we went off touring around the UK. And yeah, and then I've been in bands ever since. After De Twiege, I was in like a big epic kind of Arcade Fire-esque band called Revere. And then more recently, I was in a trad English folk band called Stick in the Wheel.
Mm. I'm wondering about all that experience in bands. How did that shape you? What did you learn, do you think, from all that time on the road with groups like that?
It was just a lot of fun. I mean, it was collaboration, isn't it? You work together as a team, you create a noise, but you also have that sort of sense of family. You know, I loved playing festivals, you know, played some really amazing festivals in the UK, but also overseas. It was just really, really great. I just love that whole idea of just going out, playing music with other people. And I think now I don't do that. That's been a real change, but it was a very conscious change. I think it's worth saying it was a conscious change. And about 7 years ago, I decided I wanted to find out what pure 100% Ellie Wilson sounded like, rather than like what I put into a group. And I went off on an artist retreat to Aldborough, and I stayed in Imogen Hulse Cottage, like a lot of people do, and sat there with Ableton and my violins and Imogen's piano and just explored my sound world, wondering what it was, just drawing it in on all of those experiences and influences I've had. And I'm not saying it was a particularly wonderful experience. It was quite a painful experience, actually. I found it quite hard, one, being on my own for a week. I found that quite tricky. That was interesting. My brain was doing things I was kind of wasn't expecting. And also putting that pressure on you over a short space of time to do something. However, looking back on it, it was absolutely the catalyst of where I am now. And I'm really pleased that I did it. And one piece did come out of it, actually, that I ended up recording and putting on the album. Actually, I recorded a lot of it in Imogen Hulse Cottage, and I will be performing that at the festival as well. So it's nice. And, you know, that I think it's nice to know that one piece did come out of that, but it started something.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about your solo practice now then. How do you describe the themes that you work with, or perhaps the processes that you tend to play with?
Yeah, so my music is predominantly violin and electronics. Sometimes I dabble with other instruments. I've also got a hardanger fiddle, which is a beautiful Norwegian folk instrument, very, very similar to a violin, but I'm very drawn to string instruments. I don't have any singing. It's all instrumental. It draws on themes of nature. It draws on themes of memory, lost memory, and the passing of time. And I'm very interested in the sort of layers of history. That's what really, really draws me. I did a project in 2019 called Unearthing Stories of the Forest, which was part of an artist residency at Epping Forest. And it really gave me a chance to get really into the things I enjoy, which is finding stories, exploring history, and exploring the world around me and the way it makes me feel, but also all the little bits of folklore that are attached to that area. And Epping Forest is particularly a big thing for me. Epping Forest is a place that I grew up next to. So it's been a part of my life forever. So I sort of knew it already, but being able to delve deeper into the history was really fascinating. So I explored that a lot in my music. Also, there's a relative of mine, my five times great uncle, called Thomas Willingale. And he described in the history books as an illiterate labourer. Don't even mention his name most of the time, but I know who he is. he was quite influential in saving Epping Forest from enclosure during the sort of mid-1800s. So I felt he was perfect to write a folk song. So I did write, I have written one song, a folk song, and it's about the story of Thomas Willingale.
I love Epping Forest. I've only been there a couple of times, but it's a very special place. And I love that release. In fact, it was that album that made me want to invite you to perform in the festival. So for listeners, that's an album called Echoes, Unearthing Stories of the Forest. And it was released in 2019. Well worth a listen. And whilst we're talking about recordings, there's another hat that you wear, isn't there, in your working life? So you're creative director, in fact, of NMC Recordings. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Sure. So NMC Recordings is a charity that was set up in 1989 by the composer Colin Matthews. And we focus on releasing contemporary classical music by predominantly living composers based in Britain and Ireland. And I've been there for quite a considerable amount of time, about 15, 16 years now. And it's been a very, very supportive job. I mean, it's allowed me to explore my solo and my creative career, you know, so that's been really positive. But it's also just opened so many doors and opportunities and made me hear and meet so many amazing people as well. You know, some incredible composers that have definitely influenced. In fact, that's actually, I can probably say that there's quite a number of composers that I've worked with that have probably influenced me to get back into writing music again, I would say. I mean, Linda Buckley, one of them. I think because she has a similar kind of sound world that she likes to draw on. Definitely a lot of the Irish scene I really like a lot. Yeah. There's a certain thing about, you know, Donna O'Donoghue's music, that kind of thing that I really, really like.
Yeah, and I'm interested, it's kind of inevitable in a conversation like this that we're throwing all these terms around or labels around, like contemporary classical or folk or experimental. And I'm really interested that you straddle these two worlds. So with your NMC hat on, you're in what we're calling a contemporary classical space. With your performing hat on, then you're more in a folk sort of space. How do you feel about these labels? Are they useful for us? Are they a positive thing for us as we talk about music, or are they perhaps sometimes a bit of a hindrance?
So with my marketing hat on as an NMC person, I would say labels are really important. Yeah. It's a really, really easy way to try and explain what someone's sound world is to someone who maybe doesn't know that particular composer. But I think the reality is that most composers don't really fit very snugly in one sound world. I definitely don't. I mean, I was quite surprised when I released my album Memory Islands last year that many people were calling me ambient. I've never ever thought of myself as an ambient composer. I was, you know, picked up by quite a lot of the ambient community because I guess it's sort of soundscapey and things. So, and I don't necessarily think of myself as completely folk. I definitely draw on folk, but I also feel that there's the instrumental, maybe sort of classical. I guess I just draw on everything and my sound is what I sound like. And I think I hear that from a lot of composers that I work with my NMC hat on, is that they don't want to be categorized. And I get that totally with my musical hat on, with my musician hat on. But from a record label point of view, labels are just absolutely vital, I think, just to help you get through the noise of social media or, you know, online or just tagging on streaming platforms, for example. You know, if you want to promote a piece of music, then you've got to kind of label it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'd love to hear a bit about what you're working on at the moment, what the areas of investigation are, perhaps what's bubbling creatively.
Well, I've been doing quite a bit of work to get ready for Eavesdropping Festival, obviously. Part of that has been actually just getting Ableton out and working out how I'm going to perform some of the works live. That's been quite an interesting process. I've been back out in the forest to do some more field recordings, of which hopefully one of those is going to end. Well, I'm probably going to have a couple at the festival, but yeah, I'm going to do a new one. So that's going to be fun. And then other than that, I'm on a scheme at the moment called the OCM Boom Scheme, which is Oxford Contemporary Music. And it kind of helps you, gives you time and space and a bit of money to explore new ideas and maybe push your boundaries a little bit. So I've been looking at developing a kind of part composition, part sound installation involving moths. Watch this space. There's not much more I can say, really. I've been talking to people that collect information about insect data, and I'm working on a way of maybe incorporating that into a new composition where the moths will control some of the music you end up hearing.
Well, that sounds great, Ellie. Can't wait to hear the fruits of these labours. And you will be performing on Friday, the 22nd of March, on the second evening of our festival at Café Otto. And we look forward to seeing you there. You have been listening to an eavesdropping conversation. Our new jingle was composed for us by Issa Otoya. Thank you.